Okay, Nehemiah. As we've talked about, Nehemiah was a man that had a great vision. He was a man of prayer, and importantly, he was a man of action. He addressed head-on the crisis that was in Jerusalem. The walls were broken down, and not just, it was a picture of not just the physical picture of what they were seeing, it was also the people. The people were broken down. They'd given up hope. So Nehemiah headed in to Jerusalem to rebuild. To rebuild the city, but also to rebuild people's hearts and lives and to rebuild them for God. He was passionate. He was very passionate about God's city and God's people. And he wanted those things to be restored. And he inspired and he spurred his people to action to start rebuilding the wall. Remember, he told them, don't worry, God's going to be with us. He will be there. And they all said, yes, let's do it. You can imagine, though, that if you just can think about it, that this was a pretty tough work site that they were starting on. There was rubble everywhere, piles of stones, charred and rotting remains of wooden gates all over the place, and they were building in the midst of all this. So maybe it was almost pretty daunting, but because of Nehemiah's passion and his encouragement and his bravery and his trust in God, they all got on board and they all started building. And this chapter, chapter 3, is an amazing glimpse of the people of God at work. God was and is today calling his people to have a distinct identity. He wants his people to be his representatives on earth. He wants his people to be set apart, to be different. He wants his people to be the ones who point others to him. We can't make people believe in God, but we can point people to God. And God's Spirit does the rest. God's people in Nehemiah's day had failed quite miserably. As we know, they'd been exiled and they'd been brought back. They'd been exiled because they'd fallen into terrible sin and God had basically said, you're just not doing what I want you to do. You're just not being that light. You're not being set apart. You're not being different. And it's not good. They'd failed, but Nehemiah coming back was God giving them another opportunity. You know, that's what I love about God. He keeps giving us opportunities. Even though I fail, and I've failed many times, he gives me another opportunity, sets me back and says, come on, we can do this. We can do this together. So God was giving them an opportunity to make amends because he wanted them to have that identity. He wanted them to be his people. You know, as I look around the world today and as I talk to people, I know that people struggle with identity. I hear people saying all the time, who am I? The questions are now, what am I? Where do I fit in? Why am I here? I hear those questions all the time. And people are struggling with identity. They want to know why they're here. And often on the news, on TV, advertising, we're often thought to focus on all of those things, on us being the most important person. So where do we fit in? And we struggle with some of those things. But, you know, I believe that God wants us to have a corporate identity rather than an individual identity. Because there is no I in team. You know, often it's I, we hear in this world, I, a lot. But we were made to live in communion with God and in communion with each other. We weren't meant to be alone. We're not meant to be acting alone. There's strength in numbers. Working together with others as part of a team is the best way to achieve a goal. Teamwork has been defined as a cooperative coordinated effort by a group of people acting together in the interests of a common cause. There's more success when we have a common goal and a common purpose. Helen Keller said, "Alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much." You know, Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, he said this, "Great things in business are never done by one person. They're done by a team of people." And there was a Japanese poet who said, "Individually, we are one drop. Together, we are an ocean." I love that quote. Individually, we're one drop. Together, we are an ocean. You know, I've been on about this teamwork thing for a while, and I'm going to keep reiterating it because it's extremely important. Teamwork requires everyone making a contribution. We need to see everybody's skills on display because we all have diverse skills and we're all here for a reason. God's given us those skills to use and we're all here to make a contribution. Teamwork requires coordination, cooperation, collaboration. The three words beginning with C, coordination, cooperation and collaboration. Developing a strategy and working together, that's what it means. Teamwork requires that we put individual ego aside. That's hard sometimes. When we think about a team of basketballers or footballers, it would seem that some people really like to kick that goal. They want to be the ones that kick the ball through the goal or throw or get the basket in basketball. They're the ones who want to do it. But in a real team, we need to put that aside. We don't want to be a star. We don't want to shine. We just want to perform our role. How many times, because I'm an avid AFL fan, as you know, how many times have I heard people say, "We're just doing the team thing. We're doing what the coach has told us to do. That's our role. We're playing our role." And when everybody on the team plays their role, they might not get any more than five possessions, but maybe they've stopped the other team's best player from getting a kick. So they've sacrificed their own game for the team. And that's what it's about. Putting aside ego, not trying to be a star, but just trying to do the best for the team. Someone wrote this, "Don't aspire to be the best on the team, aspire to be the best for the team." And a team needs spirit. We need team spirit. You know, you've seen the coaches who get there and they get the players around them and they give them this rev up and the team puts their hands in, rah, 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 and they do that. You know, that's all because it's part of the team spirit. We need team spirit because it unites us together to a shared destiny. Team spirit means that we can share information and ideas and we can empower each other. I like it when someone kicks a goal and the other players go up and they give them a high five or whatever, because they are empowering others. They're making others feel part of the team, important. So, team spirit, open, honest communication, trust, recognition for a job well done. But also, in team spirit, we have a desire to confront our mistakes, because we do make mistakes, but we need to learn from them and improve. That's what it's about. Team spirit's about motivation, honesty, communication, recognition of a job well done, but also confronting mistakes and improving. Now, on the PowerPoint, Dale, there's a slide there that I wouldn't mind. The first slide can go up for us to look at. A team player is one who unites others toward a shared destiny through sharing information and ideas, empowering others and developing trust. Dennis Kinlaw said that, and he's a theologian. He said, "A team player is one who unites others together in a shared destiny, sharing information and ideas, empowering others and developing trust." There's a lot in that quote. Yes, we were made to live in communion with each other and with God. We were made to be a team. As you can see up here, the little characters carrying the word team. Together, everyone achieves more. Because we is always greater than me. Friends, when we welcome Jesus into our lives and we decide to follow his teaching, we actually become part of the body of Christ. Do you know that you're part of the body of Christ? I want you to know that today. Through Jesus, God's Spirit lives in us and God's Spirit binds us together. We are part of something big, something amazing. We are not alone. We are loved. We are accepted. We are part of a family, the family of the Creator God. We're told in Scripture that nothing can snatch us from his hand. Despite the fact that you might feel that you fail, that you're unworthy, you are a valued and deeply loved member of God's family. And that's where your identity should lie, in the fact that you are part of the body of Christ. You are God's child. You are part of this bigger picture. The building of the wall in Nehemiah is a picture of the unity of God's people. Each person was playing their part in the work that God had called them to do. And in the scripture that we heard lots of names. And to us, they don't mean much. But to God, they do. They're significant. And they're named. And I like that because they're named. And God knows us and loves us and knows our name. It's a personal thing for God. And as they built the wall, they were all next to each other. Those of low position, those of high position, from all walks of life, together they were building the wall. If we went back to read the first verse of chapter 3, we would find that the high priest is there, setting the tone, getting his hands dirty, showing the way. He showed that this effort was worthy of everyone's involvement. Wow, when the high priest is cutting stone and putting mortar between rocks, something big's going on. So he was setting the tone for the work. And then we see, as we read through, that there were rulers of the districts of Jerusalem that came to do their bit. They didn't think the task was below them. They came to help. And one of the rulers brought his daughters to help. So all hands on deck. There were merchants. There were goldsmiths. There were perfumers, temple servants, working alongside rulers and priests. This is a picture of teamwork and cooperation. The mission was so important that everyone had a place and everyone's contribution mattered. That's unity. Everyone had a place and everyone's contribution mattered. Because some didn't build as much as others, we read that. Some just did in front of their houses. But everyone had a part to play. Everyone did their bit. It's also a picture of the fact that we are called to view ourselves as the family of God. Is that how you see yourself? Is that your identity as part of Christ's own body, his people? His church forever? Do you think of yourself as being united in Christ, united with his body here on earth? That's a question for you to ponder. Do you think of yourself as linked in this work that we do together? Do you understand that no part of the body is dispensable? Everybody is important. Remember what Paul said. Each part of the body has a job, is important. Do you understand that you are not alone, that you are part of something bigger and greater than yourself? Do you understand that? I'm not sure whether you remembered this from the hearing it. The scripture read, But against that whole scene of unity, there was something that stood out. Did something stand out to you? The Tekoite people were working hard, but someone wasn't working with them. Who was it? The nobles. They decided that this work was not for them. I wonder what was going on there. In fact, not the scripture that we heard, but another version says, next to the Tekoites, and next to them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve the Lord. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? They wouldn't stoop to serve the Lord. What's going on here? Most of them are working well, but the nobles, did they think that they were above the work? The text seems to indicate that maybe there was a sense of superiority that stopped them from joining in, that they were nobles. The work was beneath them. They didn't want to get their hands dirty. Perhaps they resented the new governor, Nehemiah. Why was he put in charge? Who does he think he is? Why wasn't I asked to do this, to be in charge? Maybe they were thinking like that. Perhaps they were critical of the plan. The wall shouldn't be rebuilt here. It should be there. If I was in charge, this whole operation would be running better. No, I'm not going to be personally involved in this. Have you heard those things before? Let's not be like that. Let's not be critical. Let's join in. Let's be the people that are part of the team. Let's not be like those Tekoite nobles who decided it was not part of their role for whatever reason. Remember, we is always greater than me, but it involves sacrifice. The kingdom of God is all about team, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So let's lock arms with each other, because God's heart explodes when we, his children, work, play and serve together. Nothing beats teamwork. Let's be people who are one body, working together side by side to build his kingdom in this place here. The next slide that we have is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. And I like these words and I want to leave them with you. As a prisoner of the Lord, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank given to you in your divine calling. With tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love toward one another, especially toward those who may try your patience. I like that bit. Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace, being one body and one spirit, as you were all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. For the Lord God is one, and so are we, for we share in one faith, one baptism, and one Father. And he is the perfect Father who leads us all, works through us all, and lives in us all. Amen. Great verse. Maybe you'd like to look that one up. That version that I use is the Passion Translation. There are many different translations. But let's work together patiently with each other. That's my encouragement to all of us today. There's a song that I like.